Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. And let us pray. Lord, help us to become masters of ourselves, so that we may become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them, our hearts, and set them on fire with your Holy Spirit. Amen. About a week ago, the Pew Research Center reported in the New York Times some surprising results from a recent survey. They found that atheists and agnostics knew more about religion than did evangelical and mainline Protestants and Roman Catholics. Apparently, however, the mainline Protestants weren't singled out by denomination, because most of the Protestants did not know that Martin Luther was the historical leader of the Reformation. If a Lutheran didn't know that, he would be banned from potluck dinners forever, or worse, though I can't imagine anything worse. These results were surprising because Protestants have had a strong tradition of Sunday school. Remember when you used to get those pins for perfect attendance? And we still do have Sunday schools, but I'm not sure all of them are getting the right message across. Some comments by Sunday school kids would indicate that the wrong impressions have been given. For instance, they said, "Adam and Eve were created from an apple tree. Noah's wife was called Joan of Arc. Lot's wife was a pillar of salt by day and a ball of fire by night. Samson slayed the Philistines with the axe of the apostles. Moses led the Hebrews to the Red Sea, where they made unleavened bread, which is bread without any ingredients." It does taste like that. But the first commandment was when Eve told Adam to eat the apple. The sixth commandment is, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Moses died before he reached Canada. A Christian should have only one spouse. This is called monotony. Enough. The Pew Foundation also noted that America is by far the most religious country in the world. We have the most people who say they believe in God and who say that religion is important to them. Religious books are popular, especially those that are off the wall, such as the ones about the rapture and the coming, the second coming, which were 4 months on the New York Times bestseller list a few years ago. Unfortunately, the survey shows that this interest in religion in our country does not mean that we are well informed, because there is also confusion as to what one means even by the term Protestant. Protestants are all over the place with hundreds of denominations and sects. And it doesn't mean that within denominations there is unity. Our ELCA has suffered serious losses because of the position it took on gays and lesbians at our most recent National Assembly. The church approved their being ordained if they were in committed relationships. And it isn't that we nor any other denomination or even the Roman Catholic Church haven't had gay clergy. We have always had gay clergy. It's just that they've been closeted. Our presiding bishop's office announced this week that their income has been cut by 25% because of congregations withdrawing from the ELCA. Most of those were in the Midwest. And we're not alone in our cutbacks. The Episcopal Church had a similar experience a few years ago when a gay man was elected bishop in New Hampshire. The effect of that election was felt here in the Buffalo Diocese. They lost half of their income, and their lovely diocesan house on Delaware Avenue is now for sale. Now, having said all that, don't think that we Lutherans are immune from a lot of division, but a lot of our division was ethnic in origin. When Lutheran immigrants came to America, they wanted their tradition to be continued, but in their native tongues. So we had Norwegian Lutheran churches and Swedish Lutheran churches and German Lutheran churches. And surprisingly, the most divisions are within the fundamentalist tradition. You would think that if everyone in the tradition claimed that the Bible was literally true, what would there be to argue about? But the fact is, fundamentalist groups are the most vulnerable to schism. There are more divisions among the ultra-conservative Christians than in those denominations that are considered to be open-minded. Who ever heard of a Unitarian church splitting? The problem is that the Bible is a very honest collection of 66 books, and the authors and editors did not hesitate to note when there were divisions. They were honest. For Christians, one of the big ones was the argument between Paul and Peter about circumcision. Peter insisted that a person had to become a Jew first before he could become a Christian. Peter said you had to be circumcised as well as baptized to be a kosher Christian. And St. Paul said no. And obviously, Paul won the argument. But it's all there in the Bible. The fact is, our Jewish Christian tradition takes God seriously. And that means we understand God to be alive. For example, look at our lessons for this morning. Story of Genesis is amazing. Jacob wrestles with God. Imagine that. And in the wrestling match, Jacob seems to have God pinned, and he asks God to bless him. And God does. But there are consequences for wrestling with God, even if you think you win. If you seriously take on God, there will always be a part of you that is out of joint, as was the case with Jacob when he limped away. There are always consequences for our behavior. The God of the Bible is alive. Jesus tried to make that point in our gospel lesson when the widow wore down the judge in her attempts to get a judgment in her favor. She pleaded her case over and over until the judge gave in. And Jesus tells us that if this dishonest judge can encounter a widow and respond to her plea, what about God, who does grant justice? And remember the philosopher David Hume? He said he believed in an afterlife because he was certain that justice prevailed. But he knew it didn't happen in this world, so it had to happen in the next world. There had to be eventually justice. And then in the second lesson, St. Paul reminds us of how important it is to have the faithful hang together. And as an aside, we need to be reminded that when Paul says all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, he's talking about Hebrew scriptures. He's talking about the law and the prophets. The gospels were not written yet. But we do have the gospels. We have the epistles. And we read them every week in church. And we learn about the faith and we learn about its relevance. Paul warns us about unsound doctrine being preached. And man, we have a lot of it out there these days. It's especially relevant these days when one religious leader has his followers picket funerals of servicemen with signs that our soldiers die because homosexuality isn't condemned in our country. You can understand where atheists come from when Christianity surfaces in distorted doctrine like this. And you know what that means, don't you? It means that those of us who have heard Jesus' call to care and to love have an awful lot of work to do. We better get at it. There's a lot at stake. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.